Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
God will not give the power of your destiny into the hands of a man. Hallelujah. Put your hands together and bless the Lord as you take your seat. Of Luke chapter 10, and we'll read from verse 17 to 21. Luke chapter 10, and we'll read from verse 17 to 21. The title of this message is Why Demons Resist. Why Demons Resist. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through your name. Through whose name? Through the name of Jesus. And he said unto them, this was his response. He said, I saw Satan fall as lightning from heaven. And behold, I give you power to tread up serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. Verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. See how Jesus refers to his Father. Eh? Just look at how he's talking to his Father. Look at the honor and the respect, the reverence. Yet, Jesus himself is God. Now also, in the book of Psalms, God the Father wanted to talk to his Son. He called his own Son Lord. Say, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make all... So who is... Who? Oh goodness. Now, listen to me. Who is fighting your battles? Jesus. The battles Jesus himself is fighting. Who is fighting it? His Father. Are you seeing it? Oh, yeah, you didn't see it. You didn't see it. The most powerful warfare posture is rest. The most powerful warfare posture is when you are resting in the Lord, knowing that his word is true, knowing that he will not leave you, knowing that if the whole earth and heaven will pass away, you will still be standing. Because he has a word over your life. What guarantees you to be a victor is that God has a word over your life. That's powerful. So while Jesus is our protector, Even God the Father referred to his own son as Lord. Say, the Lord said to my Lord. And look at how Jesus was praying here. Jesus also said, I thank thee, O Father. O Father. That O Father, there's a stress in that. It's not just O Father. It's O Father. There's a stress in that statement. He said, you are the Lord of heaven and the earth, and thou hast hidden these things from those who say they are wise and prudent. And you have revealed this thing. What exactly is Jesus referring to here? Please, who can help me out? What do you think Jesus is referring to here when he said, I thank you because you hid these things from wise men? Because by the laws that govern this earth, some things should be given, should only be given to wise men. There are things that should only be given to prudent men, hardworking men, people who are not wasteful. That there are things you may pray about, but God will not give you. If you are someone that knows how to, you specialize in wasting things. But Jesus said, even in this matter, God did not give these things to the wise. And he did not give it to those who are hardworking and prudent. Judicious managers. He said, look at what he said. He said, you have revealed them unto babies. What that means is that unless you are like a little child, you don't come to God and display your knowledge. He gave you that knowledge. When you come as a child. The Bible says, Jesus in one scripture will say, he said he brought a child into the midst. He was teaching them about kingdom greatness. And he said, let me explain it to you, because if I teach, it will take 3 hours. Let me just show you an example. He brought a small child and he did a very simple demonstration. Now, the first demonstration there is that when he brought in that child did not resist. Do you know the people who resist God the most? They are Christians. If God says, don't marry this brother, you will pray and fast. God, why not? God, I have waited. Lema sataida bakaya. You said, according to my word, command ye me. You start quoting God's word to him. Say, whatsoever we desire. When we pray, we must believe. I believe Kule is mine. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. You believe. And you tell your pastor, you tell your friend, say, God is going to do it. But you can see all the handwriting on the wall like, this thing is not, he get K leg. Or even W leg. But you insist. Say, God, anything I ask, you always do it for me. God said, I will not do it. You must do it. Because your word says, none shall be barren. That means I must marry. This is my year of settlement. Hallelujah. So Jesus brought a child, and the child did not resist. The child was just too glad to be in the presence of Jesus. He was just too glad. You know how many Pharisees tried to see him, and he didn't have time for them. This one was just going, say, come, my son, what's your name? Come. Then he used the boy as a demonstration. And he said, if any of you here, Jesus gave us the open secret to authority in the kingdom. If any of you here can be like this child, you do not resist my influence, my authority, my government over your life. You do not resist me. You do not choose the areas where you want to obey me, and you relieve the areas where you feel you don't want me to be involved. If you get me involved in your private life, get me involved in your financial life, get me involved in your sexual life, get me involved in your marital life, get me involved in your finances. That's what it means. If I become the number one dependency, like you depend on me, the child doesn't pray for his food. He doesn't care about his school fees. The child just knows when it is time, the mother will or the father will look for the school fees. Mommy, we are going to school tomorrow. I remember a very clear incident. We are going to school. You know, my dad worked at the university, so we attended the university staff school. So I told my dad, I said, we are resuming on Monday. We were at the garage. My dad just turned and looked at me. I said, are you even serious? I said, what? I just told you, I didn't do anything. I just said, school is on Monday. He said, oh, you feel this is the best time to tell me, right? I like, is that even supposed to be a conversation? Like, I mean, I'm going to school. You take me to school. That's it.
Oh, my dad said, oh. He said, you feel. You know, it was at the garage, you know. In those days when garages were eating. Just outside guys, just say, you feel, you can just come and just throw it in my face and say, school is on Monday. He had practically forgotten that he was going to pay school fees. I didn't know that was what he was saying until I grew up. I was in primary school, though. Some of you think your children don't understand. Talk to them. They will remember. In fact, years after, they will remember. They will remind you. My dad had to correct me, say, look, just because I work at the university, and just because I come to your school to do stuff a lot, doesn't mean I am interested in what goes on there. So if there's something happening to you, you better talk. I remember a day I was sent home for not wearing a pair of socks. I couldn't find my socks. So I sat at the back of the car, so my dad won't see my legs. I just managed to get myself out of the car, but I was sent back from the gate. Your socks has to be white, and they must see it. I was wearing my canvas, but no socks. So I was sent back home. So I go back to my dad's office within the university campus. What are you doing here? I said I was sent home. What did you do? I wasn't wearing my socks. It's okay. So sit down. And just continued his work. The normal thing he could have done was to have told one of the messengers in the office, go to Yelua Market and buy me, look for those who sell stuff and buy me a pair of socks. Then he probably called the head teacher and said, sorry, your boy is, I'm sending him back. And they obliged him. My dad did not say a word. After that, I just looked at his wife and said, let's go. We got home. We have all kind of trees in my compound. We have guava tree. We used to have a lot of guava trees in the north. We have plantain. Sometimes dongoyaro. What do you call it? If you know, you know. We had those trees around. My compound is very big. You know, in those days in the north, you build for taste. You don't build like, oh, this old altar now is a two-bedroom flat in Lagos. But we had a compound that we lived. Like, the house we lived in, given to us by the university, was like 1.5 times the size of this whole compound. So we had a garden, we had just one house, and it was just us. We had a place for our dogs, we had about 10 dogs in the house, you know. We had a lot of dogs, like we liked dogs. So there was something for everywhere in the house, we had the trees and all. So my dad just parked and just walked towards where the trees were. And he started staring. And he got a very long branch of a guava tree. And he took his time to dress it. And he came back to the house. I was in the parlor. I knew something was going to happen. I just, you know. times have changed, amen. I just heard that thing from somewhere. Pa, 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 pa. You know, like, when you know you've done something wrong, I couldn't even run. I just stayed there and received the beating. I was screaming. Everybody has gone to work. Nobody can save you. Today, before your mommy comes, I will finish you. And what was he saying to me that day? He wasn't saying, oh, you didn't put on your pair of socks. That's not what he was saying. He just looked at me and said, you embarrassed me. That's what he said. Say, I'm punishing you because you embarrassed me. Everywhere you go, people know your dad on the campus. He was the chairman of NASU. They know this, they know that. And then his son was sent home. Say, you have put a blemish on my name. That's all. I'm looking back now, like, how does not wearing a pair of socks put a blemish on somebody's family name? Looking back now, I felt that was unfair. Like, if he was alive, I said, but that you did. But at that level, there was no phone, there was no email. If you wanted to visit your parents, you have to travel to the village. Nobody knows you are coming. It's when you get there, they'll say, welcome, where are you? You know? So at that level, the family name had to be protected. Because if you commit a crime, your parents might be the last person to know. Meanwhile, you would have been expelled from school at Karan Amoda. You have to travel back to Lagos to tell your parents. So you look at that relationship between a father and a son. It's a relationship of submission. That for God to be able to invest his power and authority in you, he must not have any iota of doubt that you are loyal to him. There are many disloyal sons, both in families and in the body of Christ. Because I'm talking about why demons resist us. Huh? Why some people pray and demons do what? They resist. Are you blessed this morning? So wherever my dad is this morning, I've talked about you. So just enjoy the service from wherever you are. There are some things you never forget about your relationship with your parents. And for those of you that still have parents, relish your moment. Nobody, no other person can be your father. That wicked woman, she's the best option you have. Hallelujah. So Jesus was saying here, he said, I give you authority or power over serpents and scorpions. Look at the description Jesus gave to demon spirits. Serpents, scorpions. These two animals, they are killer. They have killer instincts. They have what? They have what? Killer. In that means when a snake comes for you, its intention is not to play, it's to destroy you. If that warfare is happening at a microscopic level, you might see a scorpion. It stings you in the middle of night. Before you put on your light, you can't find it again. So the remedy for dealing with a snake is not the same remedy for dealing with a scorpion, because to identify a scorpion in the dark, you must have eyes for details. Please, are you with me? What it takes to see a serpent is not what it takes to see a scorpion. So you have to pay attention to the little signs around you. Are you still with me? You pay attention to the little signs. It's not everybody that is going to receive a prophecy and say, "Thus said Lord." Sometimes just by being observant, you will know when a warfare is around you. By being observant. Huh? When that guy starts calling you more regularly. Once you start feeling like calling him too, you know that it's time to go on a fast. It's time to delete WhatsApp. And it's okay to delete WhatsApp. We were having a conversation at home a few days ago. I was asking one of our members, sometimes when she wants to pray, and she will delete all the, like this month of fasting, a month of consecration, she said she has deleted all social media apps. All. So she doesn't want distraction. Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. I think the only one she has is email. I say you are trying. Even me, I can't. I'm still growing. I never reach that level. But how many of you know that there are certain things you want to do in your life? You need to uninstall some things. I was in a meeting on Friday for about, if you try to reach me somewhere between 10 a.m., 9:30 to like 12:30 on Friday, my numbers will not go through. Because I was in a strategic meeting that I was sharing my screen with somebody from another corner of the world. That meeting did not require me to have my phone on, only my laptop. Unfortunately, I forgot to uninstall WhatsApp on my laptop. So I kept saying, Ecclesia, boom. I kept saying, man of God, bah! Another message. So I'm like, these people are like, is this guy a pastor or a concern? What's going on? I felt so bad, like, oh God. And something was telling me, oh God, uninstall this thing. But I was just, you know, let me unpin that app so that. But from wherever it was unpinned to, the message was still coming back. Man of God, when I was seeing, would you stop? Pastor, I just got to my, we just landed. If you have landed, leave me now. It was so terrible. Like after the meeting, I just and I saw good news. I said, I do. But thank God, the person just ignored whatever you are sending to yourself is your personal business. But I really felt a bit embarrassed. So, but there are some times that when you really want to wait on God, you have to uninstall certain things. Uninstall relationships. Uninstall passions. Because those are the metrics that God will use to say allocate grace. If you want to increase the grace of God in your life, there are very simple things you can do. You don't need to pray for it. You can pray for it, but there are other things you can do, and it automatically triggers an allocation of grace. So Jesus was saying to us here that he had given us power to tread upon serpents. So which means that the authority, the strategy for dealing with serpents and scorpions was what? To tread on them. That means your feet, right? Are we together? Your feet. Now you remember that if anywhere you find the feet in scripture, it represents government. Please, I want you to remember this. Anywhere your feet are, is as a spiritual person is involved in a matter like this, your feet. Huh? Do you know that when you watch a lot of these witchcraft films, or people go to herbalist homes, and all, they will tell you to take off your shoes before you enter, because there is something about your feet that registers your membership and association in places you go spiritually. And this is not a joke. Huh? This is not a joke. God dispatched an entire army to fight for Joshua and give him the city of Jericho, right? And the angel came and didn't do his job until Joshua took off his shoes. Did Moses also take off his shoes? So those are prophetic blueprints. When you are going into a particular industry and you know that you are coming into the midst of giants, don't be careless. Don't go with your shoes, go with your feet. In Ephesians, the scripture says our feet must be prepared for what? The readiness of the gospel of peace. So our feet is the tool with which God advances his kingdom. Our feet. People can talk, but how many are going? People can talk and say, give your life, cry. But how many people are actually going, taking deliberate steps towards the salvation and winning of souls for the kingdom? So your feet is very strategic. And how did Jesus say we are going to tread up? How are we going to deal with this snake? He said we'll tread on them. That means you must have authority. Also, still speaking about the feet is within the region of the body of Christ. Christ is the head, and we from the neck down to the feet are the body of Christ. Which means that the authority and the mandate to deal with demon spirits is no more in the hands of Jesus. Hello. Come on now, hello. I said the mandate to deal with demon spirits no longer resides with Jesus Christ. He said, I give you. So it's no more with him. I give you power to tread upon snakes and scorpions. And how many of you know that snakes can be very ferocious depending on the one you see? They can be very ferocious. You don't see a snake and shout hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when I see the way some people cast out there, I used to smile like, is this a real demon you are trying to cast out? Like, God, your phonetic is so obvious. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I cast you out in Jesus' name. Well, just make sure you got some authority, because if it's the way we know it in Africa, you got to shout, bro. You got to really be saying something, because that demon doesn't speak phonetic. Jesus said you tread upon serpents and scorpions, and he went ahead to say over all the power, which means there are other levels of power that are beyond the serpents and the scorpions. But he made us a promise. He said nothing shall by any means hurt you, which means when you begin to take your position in Christ in faith, in what? In faith. He said he will take away the power of that system to harm you. Now, let's look at some things very critically. One of the things I've seen over time is how some people don't really get to shout when they pray, but they have so much authority. And I see a lot of people that pray, shout, wake everybody up, and they are still bound. So it's not really about shouting. But if shouting is your thing, please, by all means, go ahead and shout. Don't judge a person because the person prays and screams. Just do your due. All right? Do your due. If what you do is you stretch your hands like this, because maybe you might have been born in a convent or somewhere close to a convent, and this is how you are taught how to pray. If you are sure you are still praying to Jesus, please go ahead and make sure you are not sleeping or dozing off or thinking about Kunle. Because there is something about shouting that silences other voices inside your head. Who knows what I'm talking about? I won't tell you any. When they follow you, when they open your file, and you can see this, the devil say, "My Father, my God, you shout, let them know that you are awake. I was looking at you. You took the first step. You took the second. Not on my. Where? What are you still waiting for?" There are different kind of prayers in the Bible. There was a time people attacked, they insulted Moses, and the ground opened. So there's a prayer point from that one. Open, grab, grab. Oh, so. Now my standard, now don't copy this, but my standard approach is, if you threaten me, I will give you 3 days to leave. So I will warn you. There's something I want to say, but don't make me say it. Just because. So it's, there's something about having a readiness to avenge all disobedience. When they know that you are humble and you are gentle, but it's not because of a lack of knowledge. Huh? So you can say, okay, what's your spirit of Asimode? There's one demon called Asimode. You see, 5 minutes. You give them time. And you tell them, if you stay after 5 minutes, the ground will open the spiritual realm and swallow you. They go and sit down and start drinking tea. They gauge your body language. Demons know when you are afraid. Demons know when you are not sure. Everybody you are looking at that you think is operating authority has something. It's called faith and boldness. Everybody. Even if you had the vision of Jesus Christ and Jesus said, "I give you all my power now. All my power. The throne room is now in your house. It has left heaven." If you don't have faith in what was said to you, if that revelation does not become your own, you are now praying and now saying, "According to what Jesus told me in 1979, who said that? Oh yeah, invade him." They invade you. You must own the prophecy. Your lips must become expressions of divine realities as if it is happening now. You cannot just wake up and we are going to hello. Just sometimes all you need to do is have faith and then take a stand. And can I tell you, God knows that regardless of where you find yourself, you will have to interface with demons. And that was why in Mark 16, as he was being raptured up to heaven, he told us, "Those who believe shall cast out devils." He knows. Whether you deny it or not, in fact, denying it may mean you're already under siege. Denying it. This is not about being demon conscious. This is about expelling demons wherever you go. If you move into a new area, the demons must receive an email that they need to clear. I was listening to one man of God and he said, there was a particular man of God in their country that they were told that they must bring down because they calculated certain things in the stars. And they said, "This man must be brought down before so-so date. If we don't bring him down, no demon of this category will be able to enter that country for 70 years. One man of God. They went to check the man of God, it was a poor man, a poor pastor with a very small congregation of also poor people. But the man was an intercessor. So this man was saying, "How can I know we are the strongest in the universe? How can you tell me there is somebody in this country that must not be allowed?" In fact, there was a time the man said in their occult, they made an announcement and said, "Maurice Cerullo is coming to their country for a crusade. That all demons and warlocks should leave that area and not come back for 70 days after he has gone. 70 days after Moiselo has left that country, that no wizard or warlock, that if you go, the atmosphere around there is still strong, you'll be arrested. That's one man. Jesus said, I give you power. I'm just giving you context to that power. Have you seen Moiselo preach before? You say, hallelujah. Ah, Jesus is Lord. Praise God, I feel the glory of God. But a warlock said, they told them in their meeting, the man is coming for a crusade. We couldn't stop the crusade. All of you leave. Demons were told to leave a land because Cerulo was coming. Please, somebody listening to me. But look at where the guy told, hallelujah. Benny, he's talking to Benny. Say, Benny, do you feel the glory of God in this place? I saw those. How I wish you would know what God put inside of you. Jesus said, I give you. He's not going to give you. He has given you. So you need to understand the tone of what he has. The tone. That thing he gave you has a tone. Eh? It has a flavor. You must find it. How can one man be that powerful? Or like A.A. Harlan, who walks into a meeting and then he shouts, A.A. Harlan is here, and all the demons start running out. People start getting. He has not even said in Jesus' name. He just climbs the pulpit and says, A.A. Harlan is here. Hallelujah! You just people, cripple rising, blind healed. He has not prayed. These are men that lived 1970, 1980, they, not 300 years ago. Like within the last 50, 70 years, these men were alive here. Do you think God changed his message or his doctrine because of your wokeness and Gen Z madness? Do you think God changed his mind? The thing is there for those who can press. Because now, if you try to lay hold on that power, you must be sure that your operating system is compatible with what you're asking for. The problem is not the power. The problem is that many of us are not compatible. The space that power should take and reside in us. Huh? The space, we don't have space. We've given it to TikTok and everything. I was with Reverend K. You know Reverend K? No? Reverend K, yeah. I was with him. He came to preach in this church about when his church was just 1 year, 1.5 years at the former building. And after the meeting, so I was at his house that evening to thank him for coming. So somebody came and was massaging his leg here. Somebody else at home was massaging the other leg, massaging his back. And I said, sir, what is going on? He said, Segwenga, said the seven spirits that live inside of me, they are so big. See, I need my body to be massaged. I laughed. It felt like a joke, but I didn't take it as a joke. You know what someone say, like, I'm tired. I'm a carrier of seven spirits. Are you hearing that language? Are you hearing that? That's, sir, why are they robbing? Somebody takes one leg. So he said, it's the seven spirits. They are seven. Seven spirits. It felt like a joke, but I took it literally. You see, somebody else may be having pain and say, it's a Panadol extra I need. Somebody else is going through that tiredness and everything from preaching, and he said, it's because he's a carrier of the seven spirits of God. Look at the mindset. Just about the power. It's not just about what you think you know. It's about your mindset. Next time you want to cast out a devil, don't beg. Ask it to leave. Then turn your back. As if you know, even in your absence, it will obey you. Now, let's talk about why demons resist. Because some of you need to know that there are certain things here. Let's read Matthew 17 from verse 14 to 21. Matthew 17, popular scripture. Are you blessed this morning? Yeah. Now let's look at this. Now, I believe this is the story of the boy that was possessed, right? With insanity. Was it insanity? Epilepsy or something, yeah. But he was possessed. So I'm going to share a few things with you here. Please just pay attention. And when they were come to the multitude, they came to... This was Jesus coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration. Alright? Now, if you want to operate at that level where your presence, your physical presence, carries a divine aura that can change spirits. Please, are you with me now? I say you carry a divine presence where just physically showing up in a place, demons get arrested. Huh? Be a man of the presence of God. Be a woman of the presence of God. Don't let your work schedule hinder you. Learn how to pray in tongues when punching your computer. Learn how to pray when you are in the restroom. Don't let your voice be far from evil. Even when you are watching Netflix, you can train your mind. They just know that the day they don't hear it, say, what's wrong? We have not heard his voice. Rolake is in the house. Hey, I said it. We always hear Kunle's voice. Every 2 minutes, five. Don't wait till when you're able to pray 1 hour. Train yourself to be default mode prayer. Come on, are you with me? Default mode what? Prayer. You are walking to the next desk or department in your office. Then now train yourself how to pray in your mind without moving your lips. It will take a lot of discipline because your mind has a way of wandering. But start learning it. So that part time, per season, like it's easy to track. Where was his last? Let's ping that address. Where was he seen last? It was in Ikeja. Trace him. Where's the phone now? They trace your signal. But if you are not somebody giving to God's presence, you complain more than you pray. Heaven doesn't have the technology to trace complainers. They trace prayer people, not complainers. And you will be one. There's nothing like I don't have time to pray. You must be one. Either you're a complainer or a prayerful person. So Jesus was coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration. And this man came kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic. Oh, Yahweh. Now, this lunatic is not just madness. This one is possessed by a demon. This is not satanic oppression. This is what? This is possession. That means the devil has taken over his spirit, soul, and body. So the devil can make this boy do anything. That's the same thing God wants to do with us. When he said, be not filled with wine, but what? With the Spirit of God, so that the Holy Spirit can turn you in whatever direction he wants, with your will aligning. He said, for he's a lunatic and he's so vexed, and oftentimes he falls into the fire and oftentimes into the water. So this demon is fire compatible and water compatible. Usually, if you are fire, you cannot be water. There's a song I've been vibing to on TikTok. I am fire, I am light, I am glory, oh, the super night. So I used to vibe to that song. So, but this, you people don't know this. It's that you people are waiting for me to finish the song before you sing it. I'll sing another one now. It's the song of Salem. Don't worry. Those are the songs that when we want to enter spiritual gyration, those are the songs we sing. But you people are so used to all your American musicians. So, shall I continue? All the people you can listen to in America, they are dead people. Maurice Cerullo, Bonky, all of them. These other people. And you look at this our generation. We have many apostles that talk a lot, but no power. Many prophets. My sister, they'll say, hello, madam, in red. She called me or sent me a message 2 days ago. Do you remember a time I called her out, gave her a post about a particular phone number that will call her? It happened last week. Yes, a few days ago. Huh? Okay, so how do you know that kind of thing? Okay, so we'll come back to that. Your gifts are strongest in the presence of God. Whatever attempts to take you out of God's presence is an enemy of state. Even if you are married and you are getting extraordinarily intimate with your spouse, that is not a sin, no. But if it begins to take your fervency from the Lord and put it somewhere in the other room, then we must lock the other room and open the prayer room. Come on, say lock the other room and open the prayer room. Some people are not even married. but they are already in the other room. So today we'll bring you out. I locked that door permanently. He said, I brought him to your disciples, verse 16, and they could not cure him. Hold on. Was it this same guy Jesus said to behold, I give you power? Were this another set of disciples? Philip was here. Huh? Peter, James, and John was with Jesus. The other ones, including the one that likes money, Judas. What other disciple do we have here? Thaddeus. James, the other James. There were about 9 disciples who went out at some point and they cast out devils and they came back and said, Lord, even the demons bowed when we mentioned your name. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, I saw Satan fall down from heaven like lightning. But when Jesus left them, went to pray, they brought a case that was above their pay grade. This case was above their what? Pay grade. So they used what they knew, but that thing did not work. That's why I titled this message, Why Demons Resist. It's not a good title for a message, but it's good for this moment. Then Jesus answered and said, now Jesus was talking to the disciples and he said to them, give me that scripture. He said, oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? Look at what Jesus was saying. As long as you do not master dominion over spirits, I have to stay. Please, are you seeing what Jesus is saying? Jesus is saying, if you guys don't master the ability to rule over demon spirits, I'll be putting you in harm's way. Then I tell you, go and cast out devils. You go, then they wipe your face. One ear stops working. See what happened? Say it was when they went for deliverance, then they slapped him, then that ear stopped. Say, ah. So what have you? Say, we prayed. The ear refused to. It is well. So you people are the ones creating problems for our Lord Jesus. Jesus said he cannot go to heaven. He cannot die because you guys cannot even deal with something like this. Give me that scripture. He said, how long shall I suffer? How long do I have to be with you like this? You see, this is how I read the Bible. I try to read the emotions with which words are being spoken, because that way you can get what exactly is going on there. Jesus was not happy with the disciples. He said, bring the boy to me. Next verse. And what did Jesus do? The same thing they did. The same thing the disciples did. The same thing. Come out in the name of Jesus. Out. He rebuked the devil. Huh? But he got a different result. Please, are you with me? It's not the method, though. It's your level. Please, are you with me? Somebody is not hearing me. The reason why you're not hearing me now is because they've not opened your file. So mark this message so when they come, you know what to listen to. Because they will come. Because warfare is the only way we gain promotion in the spiritual. Warfare. The battles you have fought and you have won. Give me that scripture. And the demon departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. That very hour. That very hour. Give me the next verse. Then came the disciple. Now, this is the thing. And this is the aspect most pastors don't get. This thing happened in the days of Jesus. These guys were even better. This is the kind of feedback many of us pastors don't get. We don't get people come to us and say, Pastor, how can we do these things? We don't get that kind of feedback. People just want to be blessed and go home. They don't want to like, Pastor, how can we also prophesy accurately? I spoke to a brother. I said, since the day you've known me, you've been with me for 9 years. And I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I say, which prophecy have you ever had me give about somebody or this country or someone around you that didn't come to pass? Whether good or bad, whether it was a good prophecy or bad prophecy, which one? He said, doesn't know of anyone. I now ask him a question. Is it because this prophecy now involves you that you are disobedient? When it was about other people, you didn't mind. this, if you continue with what you are doing, one, two, three things are what will happen to you. In quick succession, one has started. Because prophecy is to prevent us from danger. How I wish, Moses said, how I wish that all of God's people will be prophets. Not all these false people who want you to come to them every time. The essence of the prophetic is to train you to be prophetic. But these guys came to Jesus and they said, Master, we saw what you did. That was, oh my God, have you ever had a challenge on your system in the office? And when you were troubleshooting, the IT guy came. It was what you were actually doing that he came to do. But he now did something, but he got a different result. And he did it so fast. When you now say, why do you say, I can't do it again? I already passed that stage. But you started, but because you didn't have confidence in even your own name, not to talk of your ability. Jesus said, I give you. That power is in your spirit. He said, I give you. He has not come back to say you no longer have it. I say you have that power. The problem is that we need to upgrade you to be compatible with it. Demons will bow to you where they see you. They will run away from you. They cannot stand you. Because wherever you are, that's Christ standing there. Put up that scripture. Master, why could we not cast him out? Next verse. Jesus said to them, because of what? Because of your lack of faith. Because of your unbelief. Do you know, MJ? You may have faith, but still not believe. Faith means I know God can do it. Belief is, do you think he can do it now? I know you can raise my brother from the dead. I want to raise him now, Mary. I want to raise Lazarus. I know even at the resurrection. Hallelujah. I know at the resurrection we shall all rise again. Hallelujah. You should have just come there so we could have cried together, we could have sorrowed together, we could have been with us straight. People said you abandoned. Madam, I am the resurrection. And the anywhere I go to, the morning stops. That morning will turn to singing. So that's why I didn't come. If I came, to turn to revival. So I wanted to wait for a bigger crowd. So I waited 4 days. So that we'll use one bed to keep 4 stones. Calculation, marketing, strategy. Some people have faith. Don't you believe God can change your life today? Don't you believe you can meet the man you will marry today and get married in 3 months? Say, Pastor, I have faith, I believe. Do you believe it can happen now? Yeah, if God wills. If it is the will of God. It is not God that is holding you. Jesus said to them, because of what? Unbelief. Those guys had done it before. But they had casted out devils before. But when they saw the way that guy was demonstrating, he would fall into the fire, he would fall into the water and attack people around him. Shakatabaya. Shekete kete. Zokata. Oh yeah, let's form. Hold your hand. Hold each other's hand. Shakatabaya. Hold your son. Hold him well. Hold him. Hold him. How many of you came? Oh yeah, Odin will be praying from here. Holy Ghost, go and touch him. Oh no, go close to him and lay your hand. He said, no, we have to use wisdom. So even from their body language, the demon could tell these guys were not confident. So the demon started, there's what you call Edom. Yeah? He started doing demonstration for them. He would do acrobatic display. He would do Jackie Chan. He would do Bruce Lee. He would do everything. They say, it's like this your case. You have to bring him when we are doing our annual month of prayer. That's when Pastor Gbenga is the most anointed. You bring him. He's the one that normally handles me, my own area. I do administration, pastoral care. I don't. It's just because you met me here today that we are talking about this. So if you come back, he's not in the country now, but he'll be back next week. So take care of him. But next week, make sure you are here. Jesus said, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if a man has faith as that of a mustard seed, he can say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place and shall remove and nothing. Come on, say nothing. He said nothing, whether in the earth plane, spirit plane, below the earth, shall be impossible to you. This is a personal promise from Jesus to you, confirming your authority. He said, how be it? He said, this sky goeth not out except by what? By prayer and fasting. Now, we were just discussing yesterday. Let's just leave it as it is. I wanted to analyze that verse, but there will be no time. You know, but let's just take it as it is. This kind goeth not out by what? Except by prayer and fasting. Now, this is the trick I want to bring in here. Because of the level where you may be operating at, there are certain things Bukola may be able to cast out. But if you want to do it, you have to pray. Did you hear me? I said, depending on your level. Jesus told them, he said, this kind, goeth not out except by prayer and by fasting. When Jesus cast out that demon, did he pray? I'm asking, did he pray? Look at it now. Did he pray? The moment you have identified that what you are dealing with is the activity of a familiar spirit or a demon spirit or something, and you have casted it out and it has resisted you, leave it. Enter into prayer mode. Then the Lord will release angelic intervention. The Lord himself will now execute vengeance. Just the same way Daniel prayed, and it was an angel that came to remove the prince of Persia so that Gabriel could pass. Daniel prayed for 21 days and he could not move that thing. God himself, knowing where the problem is, sent an angel. Do you know that angel could have gotten the job done? And Daniel will not even have any vision. No angel will appear to him. He will just notice that the problem disappeared. Maybe it was a health condition, right? He will just notice that after that 21st day, he started getting better. He will not know that in the spiritual realm, two angels were involved. There are things that are happening around you that were angelic interferences and angelic visitations. You didn't know because God did not allow you to see the angels. Because there is an angelic realm, and the frequency to see angels is different from how you see yourselves. There is an angelic realm. There is a God realm. There is a realm where God himself stays. That's why not every angel in heaven can stand before God. Because God dwells in light. The angels who stand before him are selected. It's not everybody. Don't say not everybody can go to Astro Rock. But you can be here shouting on Twitter. What did I say to you now? The moment you notice you have casted out a demon and it has resisted you consistently, what do you do? Go into prayer and fasting. So the focus of your prayer is that what? Let there be divine intervention. Please, are you with me? Hello, are you with me? You see, what I'm putting into your hands are tools so that you know when to use them. If you are not able to deal with it instantly and you cannot get somebody whose level in the spirit is above that thing, if you must deal with it yourself, enter into prayer and possibly fasting. This is one of the reasons why demons resist. Because a lot of believers are not giving to prayer. They pray, but they are not giving to prayer. Do you know the difference? They pray, but they are not living a life of prayer. Are you with me? They pray, but they pray only when they have a problem. They pray. They only pray when they are under pressure. Some of them, their favorite prayer is, God help me. I'm sorry, I know I've not been praying. But I need you now. After this one, I will begin to pray. I will pray. You better wake up. You think I'm bribe God with this? You will not change. You have a 40 years old man. You are still making promise. Another reason why demons resist believers is because of this case of faithlessness and unbelief. A lot of people know, they have read it in the scripture, but they don't even believe that Jesus was talking to them. Do you know that when I became a Christian, 1993, January 23, 1993, when I became a Christian, this was the first thing they told me.
Luke chapter 10 verse 19. I give you power. I was not even speaking in tongues. They told me from that meeting, from today that you have become a Christian, you have power over demon spirits. I'm telling you. They didn't even ask me if I believed though. They didn't ask me if I believed what they said. It was, you know, in those days, when people give the Africa, I just said to them, go with this usher, go with this pastor, he's going to give you a first timer's card. I said, when me became a Christian, they just told me, you are welcome to the family of God. You are welcome to the family of God. From today, you have power over demons and evil spirits. Go. You know, go and be casting out devils. It's like things have changed though. Which church have you been to? Where has they led you to Christ? And now today, from today, go and be cast out devils. They say, no, for now. Follow that usher into that room. What are they telling them? The only God knows. But just go with the brother. And I say, you are welcome to Harvest Word Assembly. You are blessed. We are glad you came. Tell this boy he has power. Please tell neighbor you have power. That's what Jesus said, though. He said, it doesn't get easier than that. Look, let me tell you, as a child, I was not speaking in tongues, I was casting out devils. Because I listened blindly to somebody. I listened blindly, Bukola. I listened blind. I didn't even know where Luke 10:19 was. All I heard was, you have the power. Go and cast out devils. Bro, Bide me, bro, Lawrence, bro, Humphrey. Go and cast out devils. And I went, as if under a spell. And I was casting out on the street. Yes, exactly. On the street. I see people, because I was taught all sickness is the result of demons. You foul spirit of infirmity. Out! You deaf and dumb. You call the demon by the name of his character. You deaf and dumb spirit. Out! I went to visit somebody whose child ran mad and they took the child to Yaba left. When I got there, I said, you know, sometimes, and the way God does this miracle, you can't even take the glory because it happened too easily. You didn't pray, and I didn't fast. But I knew it. I knew something. Anytime I'm not sure, wait and hear God first. So I was waiting. I was talking to them. Well, what did the doctor say? Oh, okay. I was just waiting. All of a sudden, the Lord told me, don't pray. Go to the girl. And I went to the girl and I tapped her. And I said exactly what God said. Hey! Sorry, my hands can be painful. Hey! I hit the girl. I said, don't disturb your mother again. Her eyes just cleared. I didn't say in Jesus' name. Since that day, she has not been mad. I say, you have authority. You just start by believing it today. It will change the way you walk into your room. Faith, belief, a life that is given to prayers. Quickly, John chapter 15 and verse 7, very quickly. I have seen ladies with full makeup and jeans cast out devils. So sweet to look at. So amazing. Like with all this long hair, and you took your time. It's like you took your time to make makeup to cast out the devil. You made your nails. You very red lipstick. You know, very just like you took your time. We are going out to cast out devil this morning. Like it's a business meeting. I say, Omo, you bad though. He said, we don't they waste time. Anywhere we'll cast them out. Anywhere we'll meet them, we'll cast them out. I said, that's the spirit. Come on. Come on. Yeah. I didn't feel you. I didn't feel you. I like your voice. Anyway, you cross me, I send you out. So you are properly taught. The first gospel you should learn is the gospel of power. Because in this kingdom we fight. There's always warfare. The only reason why you are not aware is that they close your eyes. They are doing the battle on your head. So you are not even aware anything is going on. You wake up. If you abide in me, this is what our Lord said. If you abide in me, he said, and my words live and abide in you. He said, you shall ask. This one is talking about prayer. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Give me Amplified. Let's see what Amplified is saying. I want to show you another reason why demons resist you there. Come on. Do you have it? If you live in me, abide vitally united, it's like you are being bonded. Anywhere they drag you, Jesus is there. And how do you carry Jesus about? In your mind. Let this mind be yours was in Christ. Not that I say my spirit is connected to God, but your soul belongs to Franca. Yeah, Frankie baby. Frankie baby. Are you alright? Today is just Monday. We were still in church talking about to cast out devils. You left here sending words and say, Frankie. And she's in the choir. You are in the prayer team. Say, Frankie. Meanwhile, there's warfare on your head. Ogunwa, Gloria. Apologies to our non-Yoruba speakers. Huh? He said, if my words are remaining, you come and say remain. It is not about reading it. The word must remain. If they ask you any question about why you have maintained the decision, it must be because somewhere in the scriptures, there's a position for it. There's a song we used to sing in CAC in those days. Some of you may know it, you may not know it. Say, Oro Olorunye, Oro Olorun lagbara, Oro Olorunye. You can't lost with those kind of songs. And we used to have one drummer. We used to have one drummer in that church. You can't. Plus pastor, plus usher, plus mama preshi, plus baba commando. Everybody must move your body. And then you now hear the word of God. Not that, oh, hallelujah. After you make all those noise, everybody's sleeping. Because they are tired. Singing through their nose. The demons here, we need native songs. When they hear your sound, they say, this one is from the CAC, Ayo Babalola stream. Agbara wan be, there's power here. Oh God. Just that this language thing is not my thing. I would have surprised you people today. Give me a scripture. He said, if my words continue to remain in you and live in your heart. He said, ask whatever you will. The word will there is a legal word. It's a legal term. The word will is a legal term. It's not a careless. It's like something that is documented that must be enforced. Do you know what a will is? This is how I want this thing to be. Once the court, bam, put their signature and their stamp on it. Even if you die, that thing must be enforced. Say, you shall ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. Not that you will do it. Messengers will be dispatched to get that activity done. What kind of messengers are we talking about here? Angelic messengers. Many of you, maybe I should come and teach on the ministry of angels after this series. Because so you can appreciate how angels live in your house. If you catch the revelation, you will never tell anybody, I'm the only one living in this one room apart. You don't live alone anywhere. The other demons are with you or angels are with you. So what is the scripture? Give me the King James. Go back to King James. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you want or you will and it shall be done. Why do demons resist many Christians? They are not people of God's presence. And God's word does not abide in them. So even when they speak, the words are empty. You can be a businessman and you'll be anointed like a pastor. And you may be a pastor and be a motivational speaker. So what is the assignment here from that scripture? We need to begin to feed on God's words, not just by reading alone. Reading is part of it. Memorization is part of it. You must allow that word to speak to you. You must allow that word to live. It must rent a space in your heart such that before you make a major decision, you are asking, what did the word of God say about something like this? Kunle may be fine. Kunle may be okay. Kunle may be a gentleman, but he's not born again. And you are not the deputy Holy Ghost. You cannot convert anybody. So I will change him. I actually feel, you know, he could really, just change, come more serious.
you are speaking English. Nikunle will convert you back. These are the things that I've learned over time. Acts chapter 16, from verse 16 to 20. Acts 16, 16 to 20. So when we come back, second service, we'll pray. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed by the spirit of what? The spirit of what? This kind of spirit can prophesy. This kind of spirit can tell you your past. It can mention your phone number. Can tell you what you ate last night. God is not interested in those things. They are good. But if the prophecy stops there, there's a problem. Another version says, the spirit of the serpent. This same scripture, serpentine spirit. Ekwesu. Ebonhon. Serpentine spirit, piece of snakes. That's what the lady was using. But because whatever she said was true, people thought it was God. Even Paul was confused. Give me that scripture. He said a spirit of divination. Where is the scripture now? Go back to King James. Which brought our masters much gain by soothsaying. If anybody prophesies to you and asks you to pay for it, spirit of divination. No matter how accurate it is. Come and show into my life. Let me pray and prophesy. Especially if it involves prophecy. Eh? That does not mean you should not honor the gift upon a man of God. But if money is put as a condition, you are dealing with a serpentine spirit. And once that spirit ministers to you, they register your name in their kingdom. You will not be able to do anything again. You'll be looking for that prophet to give you another prophecy. You don't mind, Baba, 250K. Tell me something. That's what you'll be doing for 5-6 years. You will not be able to. Once you enter that trap, you can't come out of it. Because everything the man will tell you will be true. Put up that scripture. Next verse. The same followed Paul. And cried, "Andele Makasaya, this man of God, hallelujah, sent from heaven." Just because the prophecy is true doesn't mean it's God. Holy Ghost. These are the men. You must believe them. Hallelujah. Next verse. That's the summary of that verse. And she did this for many days. Come on, say many days. So you realize that when even the devil, when he's consistently putting pressure on you, it can wear you out. When the devil is putting pressure on you, pressing you, you become tired. He said, and Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit. Did he speak to the woman? Who did he talk to? This man is smart. He's smart. You are fighting everybody. You because you are blind. When God opens your spiritual, you will know who exactly you are dealing with. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out. See, the spirit was referred to in the male gender. He came out of her. Next verse. And when the master saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them to the marketplace. You see, marketplace, that's a place of warfare. And onto the ruler. So stop here. Why is it that many Christians are being resisted by devils? Because they lack discernment. They don't know the kind of spirit they are dealing with. They just begin to pray. Don't pray blindly. Open your spiritual eyes. Jesus said, watch and pray. Please, are you with me? There are times, even for a pastor or personally in my life, I really don't know what I'm dealing with. I don't know. And as much as you like to think I'm a prophet, sometimes I don't know some things about myself. So for me to know those things, I have to stay with God, read Bible, pray, do everything I'm telling you to do. Then the way God talks to you after 3 days, the way he talks to me after 3 days. So don't think that maybe I have some, yes, I may have some advantage because there's a way we hear God, but generally I also have to live as a Christian. I don't prophesy to infers. It's too much burden. It's too much burden. But I've been in meetings where I prophesied 3 hours. They just brought me to the altar and I started prophesying 3 hours and I didn't stop.
And in that meeting, people that were supposed to go for surgery on Monday morning canceled. This one got pregnant. This one got healed. Like, I just stood there. I was just laughing and prophesying. Last Friday, we didn't even pray. I prophesied for 1 hour. Huh? Some of you are waiting for the prayer point. Prayer point. He's going to pray now. I've gotten to the express. Look at what this guy said. Paul went for this because he wasn't sure about this woman. It took him time. If you are of a hasty spirit, there are things about people, the aura, the atmosphere around them that you will never be able to understand. Somebody is good, it's because it's nice, it's because you just met him. Give him time.
Oh, can we just go do some karaoke? No, no karaoke today.
Let's go to your house. As you step into, you see, a person's house is the strongest expression of his aura. Once you enter the house, you will get a feel of what is going on there. No matter what he's trying to do, let him paint and do. Once you enter, if your spirit is sensitive, you will know what is going on. This place, there's immorality here. You will know. You will know. This first thing, there's bad luck here. You will know. Let's go to your house. I want to see your house. I want to see your parlor. Let me go to your kitchen. This man needs a wife. You will know when you enter the kitchen. Because he only has one plate, one knife, one fork, one spoon, everything. One. You see? So, say, the brother is trying, but he needs a wife. He's anointed, but he needs a wife. So we'll help you. We will marry you. Hallelujah. Let's round up here. One of your greatest strengths in gaining mastery over demon spirit is discernment. When you're able to analyze exactly what you are observing. When that boy who was a lunatic was brought to Jesus, the father came and started talking. He was very frantic. He was emotional. He just put the boy, he said, no. Bring the boy to me. Bring the boy to me. I want to see the boy. Let me see if the demon in him can withstand the power that is at work in me. You must know this. You must know this. If you clear the demons on your street, you can send all of them away. As today, as you are going, I don't want to see any demon on this street again. If they want to come, they must take permission. Do you know that the demons in an area, you can know them by seeing what is happening to people in that area? Just observe. People have similar problems, everybody's doing one kind of business. It's the kind of spirit that is there, that is making all of them do that kind of business. If people are having bad luck there, street one, street two, check. You know the kind of spirit. So either you move out of that place or you pray and send all the demons out. Come on, say, I have power. I have dunamis. Come on, say, I have dunamis. I have power. I have exousia. I have authority. To have authority means that God is the one backing you up. When a policeman says stop on the road, he does his hand like this, but it is the government of Nigeria that is saying stop. You cannot see the government of Nigeria, but if you drive past that policeman and they arrest you, you are going to jail or they'll take you to court. That is what authority is. And I want you to know you have authority. You have authority. I will tell you the difference between authority and power. Let's pray. I want you to thank God for the authority he has given you in Christ Jesus. If you caught this revelation, you should be grateful. I want you to express your gratitude. Can somebody open up their mouths and just pray for 1 minute?